funny to me because, like, I think we all can recognize there are coworkers who maybe, you don't see eye to eye with all the time. But when it's like a manager you don't like, and you can, and you know you gotta be professional, but you see other people leaning away from some of the professionalism, you're just like, oh, I maybe don't fuck with this person a little bit, but y'all really don't fuck with this
Y'all
person.
really.
Then it puts you not fucking with them in perspective. Like, yeah, I got a little slight beef with them, but we can get over this. Y'all do not fuck with this human.
Which is weird, right? Because you would think, especially if it's a human who potentially has influence over your career, like that's a bold strategy. That's what I always fear.
What have you seen be the cattiest or pettiest interaction between coworkers who maybe didn't like each other?
There have been a few. We talked about this a second ago. Like I started a new job. God, how long has this been? It's been a pretty long time. In the my first week, there was a call between departments, and there was a girl on my team, and there were two women in another department, and it was very clear 5 minutes in that they did not like each other. Like they raised their voices at each other. They were like, "No, you're wrong. What are you talking about? Who said that?" And
No,
I
Danny, the what are you talking about in a work setting is
in a
hilarious.
work.
Ladies and gentlemen, to all you people out here who do not know what the corporate life is, if someone in a corporate setting ever tells you, what are you talking about? That is the professional way of calling you a liar. I'm
Or calling you stupid like this one was like no, you're stupid. And so we hang up the call, and the person training me, I was like, "Yo, is it always like this?" And they were like, "Yeah, they don't like each other." And I was like, "Oh man, that's insane." I can't imagine talking to a coworker like that ever.
Me, so and this is the thing, Dan. You know me, and you
I do.
know I don't deal with disrespect well. So I try to go out my best. I try to do my best to go out my way to be very outwardly respectful because I know if I sniff some disrespect, I'm bring it to your front door. So the fact that people get into these work settings, maybe have some people that they don't like, and just get to firing the clip makes me realize that one. I'm a little bit more professional than I like to give myself credit for. As goofy as I am, I am a little bit more professional than I think. And two, a lot of y'all out here, how do I say this, Danny? It's clear that some of y'all out here who have these personal disagreements with people, y'all have never been on a sports team. You've never been on a sports team.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
This is how I know. Because if you're on a sports team, any sports team, I can guarantee you've had at least one teammate you didn't y'all just didn't mesh. Y'all didn't really like each other.
1,000%.
You maybe he took one of your old nine means. Maybe,
Never.
I mean, maybe old girl talk to one of your men's on the low, but then try to act like she didn't. Like, you're gonna have a teammate if you're on a sports team that you don't like, but I can guarantee you now. Even if you don't like this person on the sports team, unless you are like A1, like Luka Doncic level franchise player, you know what your coach is going to tell you? You don't have to like them except for when you're here. And that's
That's it.
because y'all are on a team. Think about something bigger than you. How do
That's it.
people lose that when they get into the workforce? Because a lot of the people who, I don't want to say a lot, I would say maybe half the people in maybe a lot of these corporate spaces have never been on a sports team, so they've never been around or been a part of something bigger than themselves that involved people that they don't like.
Or the thing is, what are they gonna do? Fire me? I know a lot of people walk in with that mentality. Like, what are they gonna do? Fire me? Yeah. 100%
Yes,
they'll fire.
actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless you work for some sort of government where it's very hard to get fired. Like if you work just a regular 9 to 5, yeah, they'll fire your ass if you're
They
too
will
much
fire
money.
you. They will fire you. Because yes, we I think I see where they're coming from. What, they're going to fire me because you don't like me? Well, no. If one person maybe don't like you, they'll probably just separate y'all. But if it's a couple of people and they're all saying the same thing, then that question of What they gonna do? Fire me? Yes, my G. Yes. Because you are a problem.
You know how that goes? No one likes you. You get on a PIP plan. They put you on the PIP, and that's it. You're done.
Oh, so as soon as they put you on that PIP plan, it's done.
Hey, that PIP is like the warning sign that they try and get rid of you. Y'all, as someone who works in HR, that PIP plan, sometimes it's legit, but most of the time, are you on the PIP right now, D?
No. No.
Oh, okay. You looked at me like you was on the PIP. I was like, no. No,
I was. I'm not gonna lie. I once got like a I don't want to call it like a verbal warning, but it was kind of like in a HR, not an HR meeting, in like a performance review or mid-year performance review. It was kind of like a, hey, these few things have came up. It's a little weird because it's different from a lot of the feedback that we got, but we do have to acknowledge XYZ feedback. And then, you know how they try to tell you, we're not saying you're a bad person, but hey,
That's different. I'm talking about when they sit down, it's like, here's a performance improvement plan. That is the groundwork to get you out to paint.
Sheesh. How many people have you seen been on a performance review improvement plan, get themselves out of it, like become all stars afterwards? Like that performance improvement plan was like the shot in the ass they needed, and they got their shit together, and now they're out of here.
I mean, it's not impossible. But usually when your employer tells you, like, gives you, like, it's so debilitating, like, it's hard to bounce back from that, because especially if you've been doing your best. But usually PIP plans are just an avenue to get you out to pain. So it's not impossible to come back from a PIP. It's just rare. Like, I've worked at a place before where there were a round of layoffs and essentially everyone was on a PIP plan. Like, you could be doing a great job and they throw you on the PIP plan just to do it. Is again, just as a way to get you out to paint. Whether it's, they don't think you're a cultural fit, maybe you do something they don't like, maybe they just don't like you. Yeah, be wary of the PIP plans.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're out here working in corporate America, I'm going to just let you know.
Look out for yourself.
It is. It's like being in the pro sports business, except in pro sports, they're very much cut and dry on you're going to be here, you're not going to be here. In corporate America, they got to protect themselves, but they also got to get you up out of here. So now they're going to nicely, kindly snake you out of here.
They're going to nicely, kindly snake you out of here. Doug, do you want to
hear? With that being said, are we here?
Do you want to hear a funny story before we get started?
I would love a funny story.
Before we... since the last time we spoke, so my wife and I have been looking at like water filtration systems, so we can have cleaner water. And we found one, and it was supposed to be an easy install. So I start the project,
what type of project is this? You're doing what?
A water filtration system to go under our kitchen sink, so we can drink from the, like, it comes with a specialized faucet, the filter. Like, I had to put the filter in. I had to go to Home Depot and buy tools. I installed the filter system, and my wife turns it on, and she's like, man, this water is really hot. I was like, oh, give it a second, it'll cool down, because I connected it to the cold line. It's supposed to be cold water. It gets even hotter. Damn it, if the water lines under my sink were switched. So the hot is cold and the cold was hot. So I had to like disconnect it, break everything down, and then redo it. It took almost an entire Saturday afternoon. I was very frustrated. But it's up and running now. Yeah. It's fixed now. We fixed it. But yeah.
What did we learn here, Danny?
I don't know.
Hire someone next time?
No, it was an easy install. Like, I could do it. Like, I have basic plumbing skills. I just didn't realize our water lines were crossed. That's it.
Yeah, you had wifey in there drinking that hot-ass water.
Dog, she turned that joint on and it was like steaming. And she was like, man, this is really hot. And I was like, it can't be hot. It's the cold water.
She's like, sip out of that. She said, man, this, what you making,
like,
tea?
Like, the sink was steaming. And she's like, yeah, this water is hot. And it's like, no, it's not.
And here you go. Nah, just give it some time. I think I'll simmer down. Yo, what now?
Yo, that's exactly what I said.
I think it's simmer down. I know your next response is about to be, no. Are you sure your throat just not hot? It could be your throat just carrying a little extra temperature.
It got to be everything. And she was like, I think the lines might be wrong. And I was like, nah, ain't no way. It can't be. And damn it, she was right.
What do you think of Kyle saying that he's not going to hang around any PIPs or PIMPs?
I think that's a great way to live, Kyle.
Yeah. Although sometimes, Kyle, you got to hang around the PIMPs if you're trying to find where the hoes at, worth the Cardi.
Kyle's a married man. He ain't trying to find the hoes.
No, I'm talking about not Kyle. I'm just talking about, like, in general, like, speaking to the state.
Oh, okay. Good save. Yeah, Kyle.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 138 of Speak On It. I am... Actually, let me back up. You already know when you see this Nas fade that it can only be one brother, the good brother, Los D Mix, as always, joined by the smoothest bald head on the East Coast, Danny Ocean, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's been a very busy week at work. I had to do a lot of traveling. That's why we were off last week, but we're back. Life is good. Shaved this morning.
Yep, nice, we got a clean shave. Look at that head. That thing's shining. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get going, please make sure you do us a great, great favor and make sure you follow the pod. That is speakonit_pod on X, on Instagram, on TikTok. Make sure you follow Danny Ocean and myself, Los D Mix, on Twitter. On X, on Instagram, across all socials. Danny, we got a really, really packed show today. I mean, we missed last week, but of course, last week was just filled with news. Yep. Let's start with the latest in the NFL and NFL draft. So since our last talk, we know that the Vikings lost Kirk Cousins. He's now on his way to the Falcons. So since that trade, it has been rumored now that the Vikings could end up actually trading up to potentially get a quarterback now that they have a couple of first-round picks after some recent trades in the last week. So, first question, do you think the Vikings make this trade happen? And if so, which teams in that top five, six do you realistically see them trading up with and landing a QB at?
I don't know if anyone's willing to play ball. So Minnesota has the 11th overall pick, and they should have – what's the other one they have? I know they have 11.
I think they have 11 and 16 or something like that.
Okay. So, yeah, that should be enough. I guess the question is, Chicago's taking Caleb. Washington's taking Drake or Jaden. New England – like if the three of those teams aren't willing to play ball, if you're going for one of those three guys – I don't think you have a chance. Now, if you're saying to yourself, hey, we're in the business of drafting J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, I don't think you have to trade up to go get that guy. I think the board will fall in your favor that one of those two guys will fall to you at 11. I mean, I understand. Yeah, so Vikings have 11 and 23. That's enough to move up. I mean, if you think the Giants are going to take J.J. McCarthy, that should be enough to jump up to the Charger spot if the Chargers don't want Malik Neighbors, right? Or that I think Arizona's going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. So, yeah, you're calling the Chargers and you say, hey, we'll give you 11 and 23 if you let us jump up in front of the Giants to draft J.J. McCarthy, which seems like a lot for J.J. McCarthy. But if you think he's your guy, then, I mean, you got to do it.
So when I saw this question in our docket, I went through the top 10 and I just started looking at it, like who realistically needs a quarterback and who don't, right? We can go through it. Chicago.
Yep.
They're likely picking Caleb Williams. Washington. You have to think that they're likely taking either Drake May or Jaden Daniels at two. Then you look at New England. I know a lot of people think, and even Gerard Mayo, new head coach, has said that the Patriots could be open to moving out of that three spot. I think that is pure cappuccino truth.
I do, but they should, right? I think they should, but they know
they shouldn't. Why do you think they should? You want to bring
a young quarterback into that offense? Like, who's the top weapon? Juju Smith-Schuster?
Well, what's the offense though?
I mean, what ruined Mac Jones? Like, Mac Jones really didn't have a great offense. Not to say that Mac Jones has been good.
But this isn't the same Patriots regime. New Patriots regime, and I think they're trying to be very adamant. This is a new Patriots regime, and that's why, really, I think they're going to get a quarterback here. Because, okay, you trade back, right, to get, let's just say, 11 and 23, I mean, how does your team get better? Really?
I mean, I think if you're the Patriots, you need to think about building a competent roster. Like Jacoby is a great Jacoby is a great bridge.
You can make the same case for Chicago. You can make the same case for Washington. You can make the same case for the Giants. You can make the same case for Tennessee. That all these teams aren't just a single quarterback away. Yo, some of these rosters are ass.
That's true.
So if you're gonna do something, you gotta do what the Texans did, right? Take the QB with the mediocre roster, but then have the QB prove that even with a mediocre roster, this guy can play. Then you try to fill him in with talent. I think the trying to fill in talent, trying to go the Atlanta Hawks route is how you go 7-8, 8-8 every year, and then you get coaches fired and you waste the prime of good young players.
Hey man, they just got Kirk Cousins. They win in the division next year.
But that's because it took them years of having the right roster and trying to plug in QBs, even like with after the Desmond Ritter thing, and then eventually I think they just realized, yo, either we're going to draft well or we should just go sign a good one. They went with signing a good one.
So Kyle thinks that the Pats stay at 3, they won't draft a quarterback. They're going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. And if that's the case, that definitely changed everything. I think L.A. would be more than happy because that means Arizona is probably drafting Malik Nabers. And then if you're the Chargers, who's there that you would want to take at 5, then, yeah, I would definitely talk to Arizona and be like, hey, like if the Patriots draft Marvin Harrison, then the Arizona and the Chargers pick becomes a lot more valuable. I hope they don't draft Marvin Harrison. God, listen, I hope not.
I'll be honest with you. Marvin Harrison, I'm going to pray every day that you don't succumb to have to try to catch footballs in New England from Jacoby Brissett. Let's be honest here. Respectfully speaking. And all you Patriots fans out here who are saying you don't want a Jaden Daniels or any of these other quarterbacks and you'd rather have Marv, I promise you, nothing will enrage your blood more than watching Marvin Harrison Jr. get open and a QB unable to throw him the ball.
Let me tell you right now,
two or 3 years, you Patriots fans are going to be telling Marvin Harrison Jr. at year 3 or 4 when he doesn't even want to sign his extension because he's trying to play with a real QB. Yeah, man, nah, Marv, I got it. That makes sense. You finally just want a confident QB play. Go get your confident QB play. Amen. What is wrong with you teams and you fan bases? You just want to go out here and top out Nathan Rourke, Jacoby Brissett, Nathan Peterman, Marcus Mariota. These are the QBs y'all want week one, then wonder why your team wins 3 games the next year. Come on, man. Quarterback is the most important position on the field. Go get your quarterback. Y'all the same people who then get on social media talking about them. Oh, but why the Packers? How did the Packers get so lucky? They quarterbacks are on our quarter of a century. Because we draft them when we don't need them. Fucking idiots. You fucking idiots. Just like your fucking franchises. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. I was like, my franchise believes in drafting quarterbacks when you don't need them.
Nah, I'm just talking like in general, man. That shit just irks me. Because, like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Either go get your quarterback and figure out the roster around them, like smart organizations do, or go ahead and build a team with all these Pro Bowl, all pro players at all these positions. With no QB, and tell me which locker room is happier. Because I can tell you right now, the locker with good QB play and everybody else around them is a little suspect. I promise you, give them a year or two. Y'all clowned the Texans last year for taking CJ Stroud. They took him this year, got instantly better. They're so far ahead of the rebuild that now the Texans front office has to look at this team and say, well, we got to surround this kid with something. We got him on how many years? We got him for how many years do we really got to pay him? We got to do something. Y'all dumbass people out here want your franchise to go spend a bag on the QB early and then don't have any cap space anywhere else. Trust me, as a fan of a team that had Aaron Rodgers on the books for a while, respectfully speaking, it's hard to build a roster like that. It's not impossible, but it's hard.
Can we talk about something real quick? Why do people say you can't have your cake and eat it too? why else would I want a piece of cake other than to eat it? I feel like I've asked this question before.
I agree. The saying is stupid, but you get what I'm saying.
Oh, I got you.
What do you think of what do you say to the people that have came out and said that, as we speak about Minnesota and their QB situation, that Kevin O'Connell's system is a little bit too advanced for a rookie to come in and run it? Now, you think back to some of his last QBs, Matt Stafford, Kirk Cousins. Do you see that as a realistic reason as to why, you know, the Vikings really might take like a Sam Darnold and try to transform him?
No, I think if you're Kevin O'Connell, you draft a quarterback who you think can handle your offense, and you also, as your coach, it's your responsibility to put your quarterback in the best position to win, especially if he's a rookie. That's what all these pre-draft visits are for. That's what the combine is for, so you can get these QBs in a room and see if they can handle it on the chalkboard. Like, from an intellectual standpoint, if they understand what's going on, you don't draft a quarterback that high, especially if you're giving up two first-round picks to jump up to go grab him, if you don't know for sure that, hey, intellectually, he understands the philosophy of what we're trying to do here. And the Minnesota offense is easy. Throw it to Jeddah. He over there somewhere. And if he's not over there, TJ Hockenson is underneath.
Well, he's got to get healthy. But, yeah. So here's my thing. So when I saw Kyle Rudolph kind of come in and say that Kevin O'Connell's system is hard for a rookie, I was like, okay, that makes sense why they went out and drafted Sam Darnold, right? You want someone who's probably been in an NFL locker room, probably knows a little about, knows a little bit about your system before. But then I started thinking last year, Kevin O'Connell had Josh Dobbs looking like a serious QB for like 3 weeks last year, 3-4 weeks last year. So I start thinking, I know Josh Dobbs, smart NASA guy, so on and so forth. But if you can coach Josh Dobbs and he was out there throwing hospital balls to players, literally.
And that was like
Nick Mullins out there not looking bad.
That was on a short week, right? Like, he came in and he was introducing himself to people in the huddle.
Yep. Remember, he had Nick Mullins in there too.
Yeah.
I'm playing bad. Here's what I'm thinking. I think if you're the Vikings, you take a serious look. If you're them, you're at 11. I think
it's Michael Penix. It's very easy. It's Michael Penix.
Yeah, Michael Penix is definitely it. It's Michael Penix.
He already wore purple. We know what he looked like in purple. It's Michael Penix. It damn sure JJ McCarthy.
Even if you look at the top 10, right? Let me share my screen. Even if you look at the top 10, right? Can you see my screen?
Here we go.
Can you see my screen yet? Here we go. So even if you look at the top 10, right? Let's just look from the Jets up. Nobody here really even need a QB.
Nope.
I mean, the teams that don't need a QB are 4 and 5, you can say. You know that quarterback won't be what the Chargers and the Cardinals need.
Yep.
At 6?
They're going to draft Giants.
I mean, there's a world where the Giants could potentially – there's a world where the Giants could take a quarterback. There's a world – 7, Tennessee, how confident do you think they are in Will Levis? I know they just drafted him last year, so I would say maybe 4, 5, and 7 with an asterisk on it if they don't really, if they feel confident in Tennessee. I mean, if they feel confident in Will Levis. 8, Atlanta, they got Kirk Cousins, so yeah, they might not need a quarterback. Chicago at 9, Jets at 10. Like, if I'm Minnesota, 10, 9, 8, 7, that's the realm where I'm looking to maybe move up. Yep. It's just hard for me to believe that the Cardinals or the Chargers are going to move out of those spots, because if you're the Cardinals and Chargers, you're essentially looking at your draft spots as the number one and number two overall picks, because if the first three are going to be quarterbacks, you essentially have your pick of the litter from all the best other players.
And it's a deep wide receiver draft. Here's what I'll say. Especially if the Giants at 6 take J.J. McCarthy, which I see a world where they take J.J. McCarthy. If you're Minnesota, now we need to start talking to Tennessee and Atlanta, because other teams might try to jump up to grab Michael Penix before you. So I think you're right, right? It's all about what the Giants do. If the Giants take Michael Penix, you count your losses and say, okay, we got Sam Darnold. And if they take J.J. McCarthy, I'm calling Tennessee. It's like, hey, I'll give you these two first round picks. Let me jump up and I'm grabbing my.
Can I ask you something? Yeah, and then we'll move on. Why do so many people feel so adamant that the Giants are going to wake up in a month and say, all this money we just guaranteed Daniel Jones, all this money we've already signed him to, that shit don't matter. Let's just draft somebody.
I mean, I think we've entered the age where the dead cap hits, teams really don't care anymore, right? Like, look how much dead cap the Broncos are playing to get rid of Russell Wilson. Like, Daniel Jones' cap hit isn't that bad. Like, now it's like, it's not as bad as Russell Wilson's dead cap hit. I think the Giants are looking for another quarterback.
I don't know how you sell to an owner. We're gonna just give this guy $30-something to go away.
Oh, that's easy.
Especially when
YouTube,
he really
put on YouTube highlights of Daniel Jones, and you say this is why.
But if you're, I just feel like if you're the general manager of the Giants, you could legitimately say, one, he wasn't healthy last year, Daniel Jones. He wasn't healthy last year, so it's hard to really evaluate him. One, but two, look at who the fuck he was throwing the ball to, yo, like. This ain't Chicago Bears. We gave him a DJ Moore, and even in that last year, he was still shaky. Yo, give me the best wide receiver Daniel Jones has thrown to.
Darius Slayton.
See what I'm saying? Yo, New York, at number six, if y'all don't take Rome Odunze.
What are we talking about?
Like, what are we doing?
So let's say they do that, right? Say the Giants go receiver, so quarterback 1, 2, 3, receiver 4, 5, 6. Oh yeah, Minnesota is definitely calling.
You don't even need to make you at that point. You don't even need to make.
No,
a trade.
No, it's not about that. It's about other teams behind you calling, trying to jump to one of those other teams. Right? You're not worried about those teams drafting a quarterback. You're worried about teams behind you trying to jump you to get a quarterback. You're worried about Vegas. You're worried about New Orleans. You're worried about that's about it. You're worried about teams that can jump up.
Vegas would be one.
Vegas.
Denver would be another.
Denver, Vegas, and they're both right behind you. I would even argue Seattle. I can make an argument for Seattle drafting the quarterback in the first round. Geno's like 30.
They just traded for him. They just traded. They got another backup in there.
Yeah, but he's not. So. Who they trade for? What was that trade? Because Drew Locke is gone.
I think they took somebody else's backup.
That's not your guy.
But they also paid Geno Smith that money. And Geno has not been playing bad.
But Geno's 34.
Okay.
I could 100% Seattle drafting a quarterback, sitting him for a year, and then next year.
I think they're looking at their team.
I mean, that's what the Packers do. That's what you just said it.
But yes. But you got to think each franchise is – philosophy is different. The Packers strongly believe in drafting and developing, yes, especially when it comes to QBs. And I think they feel very confident in their ability to scout that position, develop that position, and then, you know what I mean? But some of these other franchises, one, I don't think they have owners who believe in some of this dead cap shit. Like, I do believe there's some owners out here who say, yo, we're paying him X amount, XYZ this year. No, he's going to be on a roster. I don't care. Not doing that.
Okay.
We're just not so doing Kyle, that. I'm not, you know what I mean?
Kyle said that if Daniel Jones is cut right now, it'll be the second highest dead cap hit of all time behind Russ.
Yeah. All y'all out here who think the Giants just going to let 30-something million just sit there in dead cap space, I'm going to let you know right now, you will never, ever a day in your life handle any business's money. You have no business being an accountant. Because you're reckless, clearly.
But
clearly,
if the Giants do go receiver, the next 7, 8, 9, and 10 are going to be a fight between Denver, Vegas, and Minnesota. Two out of those three teams are going to get their guy.
Now, speaking of which, it's been rumored that Jim Harbaugh said J.J. McCarthy is actually the best QB in the class. Are you buying that, or are you just thinking, or is this just Jim Harbaugh being a good
hitter? Oh, this is Jim Harbaugh raising the price of J.J. McCarthy so someone to jump, call L.A. and pay them a ransom to go get him. Jim ain't slick. Especially if Marvin Harrison Jr. gone and someone calls and is like, hey, Jim, We'll give you two first, a second, and a player if you give us number five. All right.
Mm. Yeah, especially if it's a player they might need.
Yeah, well, Denver doesn't have the assets to do that. Maybe Minnesota, maybe Vegas, maybe the.
Let me ask you something. Where's the world where where the Chargers get on the phone with Minnesota and say, "Yo, straight up, Justin Jefferson for the number five overall pick, you got it."
Nah, you can't. Well, you got Jordan Addison, man.
If I'm Minnesota, I take a long think about
it. I don't know, man. The best wide receiver in football. Someone who was like on a Hall of Fame trajectory, trading him for an unknown. Yeah. That's a bold strategy.
But think about this. But here's what you're thinking. You're telling if you're the Chargers, right? You're telling them, yeah, we'll give you Justin Jefferson. We need 11 and 23.
Oh no, if you getting Jettas for me. I ain't giving up both first round picks. You can Jettas in 23, and that is it.
Oh, you said Jettas in 11?
No. I said Jettas in 23, Jim Harbaugh. I'm giving you the best wide receiver in football. I don't care if you have to pay him.
For the 23rd overall pick?
Yes. He not getting Jettas and 11.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, because if you were going to take a wide receiver at five and essentially you get Justin Jefferson, then there's your draft pick number five. So now you're essentially you're taking. Yeah, I got you. It would. So Kyle says that's why he thinks that if the Vikings trade Justin Jefferson, it will be for the third overall pick from the Patriots. Mm,
there's no way to tell Justin Jefferson you hate him more than trading him to New England.
What are your thoughts that Justin Jefferson has been that the Vikings front office has been informing Justin Jefferson on their QB?
They should. Hell yeah, Justin Jefferson has all the leverage right now. Hell yeah, you need to talk to me.
Do you think the front office is being honest with Justin Jefferson to the fullest?
They better be if they want him to be a Minnesota Viking. Jettas has all the leverage right now.
Wow, that's funny, because I think it's the opposite.
Really?
I think the Vikings are having a look at their organization and saying, we're clearly in a rebuild. Jettas, while we want him to be at the focal point of this rebuild, he could also be the best asset that we have in this rebuild. So, yes, we do want you to be involved in this, but buck out of line and get a little bit unhappy, my brother.
Cool. I will, because next year I'm an unrestricted free agent, and someone's going to have to pay me after Jamar Chase resets the market and CeeDee Lamb. That's fine. Cool. That's fine with me.
Okay. And I think the Vikings are looking at that as, we want to pay you, but if you want to be pissy with us doing a rebuild, say less. We'll trade you now. Okay. Before we have to pay you, and I guarantee you, if we trade you now, what we're going to get, you're not going to be happy with. If we trade you later, you'll be happier, because we'll just be taking whatever we're getting.
Nah. If I'm Jettas has all the leverage. All of it.
Bam says the Vikings got Daryl Morey in the front office. Don't trust them, Justin Jefferson. Kyle says that Justin Jefferson is in the tag.
Okay. What's the tag for wide receiver? Because it's the average of the top five wide receivers. So if Jamar Chase get paid this offseason, if CeeDee Lamb get paid this offseason, if Devontae Smith gets paid this offseason, and next year you're going to tag me, bet. Do it. I dare you. Tag me.
You think the Eagles going to pay Devontae that money?
They should do it this year. They won't. They need to do it now, again, before CeeDee and Jamar get paid. Like Darnell, what's the dude in Atlanta?
Darnell Mooney. Oh my God, I didn't put this on the note. Let's stop when we're talking about Darnell Mooney. Let me tell y'all something, ladies and gentlemen. Darnell Mooney, hold on. I want to make sure I get the fucking numbers right.
Like that kind of just influxed the whole. Like he got a contract that Devontae Smith should be getting, and he is not Devontae Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, what's his deal?
Darnell Mooney got 3 years, $39 million, with $26 million guaranteed. Danny, can I be honest with you? When I was pocket watching and hating, I read this and said, Well, damn, Darnell Mooney just out there doing a smidge more cardio than me, and he got 26 M's.
He got 26 like, M's.
Guaranteed. I swear to God, when I read that, I got up and I was just like, you know what? Blue 18. I get that bitch right now. I'll be in that bitch right now. What you mean?
Are
you kidding me? Darnell Mooney can get 26 million. Come on, bro. Come on.
Let's see. Hold on. Let's see, man. The cap hits for
Kyle saying it's looking like next year the wide receiver tag will be around 34 million. Good
God. You want to do that? And that again, that does not account. That does not account for what Jamar's about to get and what CeeDee about to get. So you can take that 34 and you could probably make it 37, 38. If I'm Justin Jefferson, oh, you want to tag me for $38 million guaranteed? I dare you.
Guaranteed?
I dare you. Y'all do gonna it. Be upset. I'll sign it today. Tag me for 38 mil.
Yeah.
Tag me for 30.
Bam actually made a good point. Bam said the Vikings should trade him now before you get left with a Chase Young situation, which is very – because if you think about it, the 49ers trade a little something. They traded what? It was a six, seven?
Yeah, they traded a little something for Chase.
They should trade it. And now they get basically no return on investment.
They might get a comp pick. Depends on how big the contract is he signs. Because the 49ers didn't bring any big-time contracts, did they? They might get a comp pick.
Yeah, they lost more people than the game, which makes you think that maybe shit's not as sweet inside them 49er doors.
Did you see they're going to be one of the teams Netflix follows? So last year was quarterback, this year is a receiver, and they followed Debo and Greg Kittle all year. I can't wait to see those motherfuckers cry again. Turn me up.
So instead of Netflix quarterback, they did Netflix wide receiver series.
Kiddo, Debo, Amon-Ra. Hold on, let me look it up. I know Amon-Ra. I know those three were in it.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and there's another one that's really interesting. There you can see. Whew. Yeah, here it is. Devontae, Jettas, Kiddo, Debo, and Amon-Ra.
Oh, that's actually... Okay.
That's going to be legit.
I'm going to check that out.
I can't wait to see.
Speaking of which, I got to buy a new Netflix account because I got tired of having I've been on my parents' Netflix account since like
that's a blessing.
10 11 12 years, and you know, Netflix are the thing where it's like you have to be in the same house. So, I got tired of basically having to hit my mom up and just be like, "Yo, sign me in, like say I'm in y'all's house." And now I have to buy another Netflix, make another Netflix account, and I'm not looking forward to it.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Not looking forward to it. Some bullshit. So, but I got to do it before Raw comes to Netflix because I can't.
Oh, man. We'll talk about wrestling later.
The Bears GM said that he was surprised by the lesser interest in Justin Fields. I read this and I said, yo, why are y'all shooting at this man?
Like, why do you hate him?
Yeah, like, why y'all, like, did he deserve this trade? Damn, y'all traded him to the Steelers. Let it go.
You did nothing to help him out. And now that he's gone, you have brought in a hell of an offense.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so Bam said Chase Young was traded for a third. Yeah, they traded. Yeah, I'm sure the 49ers will get a comp pick. No, they won't, because Chase's contract wasn't that big.
But they also lost a pick for that accounting mess up. Yo, ladies and gentlemen. Anytime you see accounting error, I was sitting there like, wait a minute. But there's somebody that gets paid to do that. How did they fuck that up? Makes you
wonder. Who got paid under the table? Who got paid more than they were supposed to? Who got paid more than they were supposed to? Wink, wink.
Yeah. Speaking of the Niners, do you really believe John Lynch, the 49ers GM, when he says that Brandon Ayuk is not available to be traded?
Lies. Brandon Ayuk is talking himself out of San Francisco. They're not bringing that man out. Like, Brandon Ayuk getting on Instagram, talking in emoji, talking like Cam Newton. He out.
Listen, I just think it's funny because, yo, this is my favorite. This is, like, one of the funniest parts about, you know, covering sports and professional athletes. They love you until they love you. And when they fed up with you,
they hate
you. Yo, dog. They just turn on you. Like, they just villainize you. It's like crazy.
His girl got on Instagram like, nah, F the 49ers. Nah, dog, it's over. It's a wrap. We done.
Which probably means that it's a situation where, like, how do I say this? Why do a lot of athletes have agents? Because that's someone to lessen the blow for how disrespectful some of these contract negotiations are going to be.
Correct.
And part of me thinks that Brandon Ayuk has maybe been a little more in the weeds, maybe, or is kind of found out about some of the offers that have come back to him from the 49ers. And he's probably like, no fucking way. Y'all paid Debo XYZ. Y'all paid Kittle XYZ. Y'all paid this white boy who be running the rock XYZ. Y'all force feed them, but I be in this offense cooking too. Let the league in yards per reception, and y'all don't want to pay me. I've done nothing but get better year in and year out. I've bided my time. If it wasn't for me in the Super Bowl, respectfully, that game would have got out of hand very fast. And now all of a sudden, after going to the Super Bowl, now y'all don't want to pay me? Yeah, no, fuck y'all too. I feel like that's probably the basis of what his back and forth is.
A couple things. One, Christian McCaffrey is a bad white boy. This is a Christian McCaffrey hate-free zone. Second.
Wait till Christian McCaffrey learns how the NFL really feels about running backs.
Like, he got his money. And the second thing is,
wait until the NFL shows Christian McCaffrey how they really feel about running backs.
And
it's cool when you're scoring all these touchdowns.
And if you're the 49ers, you have to think Brock Purdy is eligible for a contract extension next year. And he gonna get paid. Yeah, so this year, he has 2 years left, but they're probably going to extend him after this season coming up so he doesn't even sniff free agency, even though nobody's going to want him outside of San Francisco. And he going to get paid.
Yo, Brock Purdy, if you hear this, I am not trying to hate on you. I swear to God.
I am.
And I don't wish this on him, but I think... Mm-hmm. I think your man Brock Purdy is going to definitely hit free agency. Let me tell you why. I think by week 6-7, Brock Purdy is going to be figured out. And when Brock Purdy's figured out, I think watching the 49ers is going to be comical.
I can't wait.
Like,
I think comical. For me, I think if you're
like, go ahead.
I was going to say, if I'm Brandon Ayuk, I'd be real mad they paid the running back over me. And by running back, I mean Debo Samuel and not Christian McCaffrey.
That's what I'm saying. No, fuck that. I'm saying both of y'all. Y'all paid this white boy that y'all be running the force feeding the ball to on every other down. Y'all paid your little running back, halfback, wide receiver over here that got four routes in his entire tree and is hurt every fourth play. I'd be out here dogging him.
Dogging him.
Ask the Darius Dean. I was a problem. Y'all don't want to pay me? I'm tight. And if I'm Brandon Ayuk, I'm looking Kyle Shanahan in the eyes, and I'm saying, you sure you want this little white boy out here throwing the ball to someone, not me? Like, out here throwing the ball with me, not on the field? Because I know Brandon Ayuk talking this cash money. Yeah, if I'm Brandon Ayuk, I'm going to him and saying, let me walk. I swear to God, you are going to regret this every day in your life when you see Brock Purdy without me.
I hope it happens. I hope Brandon gets to go to Kansas City.
Tell me what the 49ers offense looks like with Kittle, Debo, CMC, and Brock Purdy. No Brandon Ayuk.
A lot of rats that are 10 yards and under.
Yeah.
Hoping for a lot of yak, which is what they do anyway, but even more so.
Even more. What are your thoughts on Deion Sanders basically coming down saying that Shador Sanders and Travis Hunt will control their own 2025 draft status? And he also said he's basically saying that they're going to decide where they want to go. Basically, think Eli Manning that year. What are your thoughts?
Love it. I'll say the more power players receive, especially through NIL, the more they're going to push the limits on where they get drafted and having more so of a say on the draft process. So I think Deion is correct.
I think what Deion's saying is nice in theory. I think it's a whole lot of cap, though.
If there's one famous father who was not afraid to buck at the system, it's Deion, and be loud about it, right? Okay. The whole Manning thing, Archie was quiet. That was behind the scenes. No, Deion going to get on TV draft night. Let's say, I don't know who has the first number, who has number one overall? Carolina. Shedeur not going to Carolina. He would say that draft night while the Panthers are on the clock. Am I lying?
Listen, Deion. Yes. Deion, listen. I think what Deion's trying to do is let certain teams. I think there are certain situations that Deion will be vocal about his kid not being drafted to, right? So let's just say next year.
He doesn't want him to go somewhere cold. He does not want Shedeur to go somewhere cold. He has said that. So yeah, if the Jets have the number one overall pick next year.
Deion, fucking relax, bro. What the fuck? Yo, goddamn, yo. I mean,
like if the Jets are on the clock, Deion be like, hell no. Shedeur not going to the Jets.
And here's why I got to call the cap, because the Jets are taking. Jets are picking 101, and Aaron Rodgers has clearly announced his retirement. You fucking think the Jets are going to look at Shedeur Sanders if he's the best quarterback in the class and say, no, we're not going to draft him because his daddy don't want him? No, they're going to tell Deion to shut the fuck up, and they're going to draft Shedeur Sanders.
Hey.
What the fuck is we talking about?
Hey,
you don't want to play. Don't play for us.
The Chargers drafted Eli, and then he was a Giant.
Okay, but that was 04. That was 04. Yeah. The league, that was 03, 04. The league was different back then.
What a great way to celebrate the 20-year anniversary of the man in strong arming the Chargers by the Sanders strong arming the Jets.
Yo, if y'all, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I just think there's too much money at 101 to pass up on.
I'm not saying that it's not going to happen, but I'm saying he's going to try. Like, I don't think Deion's going to be like, oh, all right.
In my opinion, you're going to be very unsuccessful. And you might ostracize him. Like, that shit that Caleb Williams almost did. Like, yo, Caleb Williams
Dog, I can't wait for Caleb to ball out, because people being real ficky about who cares if that man wear lip gloss. I don't care. He throw the football better than 75% of the league. Did you see him? He was at a game. He had on lip gloss, and he has like a pink phone cover. I'll send it to you.
Oh, so Caleb might be a little sweet. Man, yo, Michael Sam was too.
Listen, dog. We
NFL, getting... y'all so nasty for that time in y'all's life, yo. Do you remember that shit when the NFL was making a big deal about gay people? First off, salute to all my gay brothers. I'm an ally. This is what I think is funny. NFL media trying to tell us about Michael Sam being gay and the importance of that. I'm like, yo, kickoff is in about 45 minutes. If you don't give me my fucking actives and inactives for this fit, I don't give a fuck about his sexuality. Are we kidding me? I don't give a fuck. What are you doing? What is he doing in between those lines? Can he get to the quarterback? Newsflash, gotcha. The answer was no. He couldn't.
Here's
my thing. Oh, yo, sexual preference should not matter. Like, it should be so normalized, in my opinion. Sexual preference should be so normalized that within our sports, it shouldn't be a conversation, because what does your sexual preference have anything to do with what is going on this court, on this field, on this track? Like, I don't give a damn what you do in your free time. My G, can you seal the edge and stop the run? Can you fight? Can you get skinny through the double team and get to the quarterback? Can you beat press coverage on the hot route?
Hey, dog, I just know.
Can you hit that A gap right when that center pulls? Those are the questions I don't give a fuck. You had his sucking a little dick in your free time. That ain't no problem.
Is throwing his fifth touchdown against the Vikings, it's going to be with painted fingernails. It's going to be great.
Listen, I hope. Listen, Caleb, if you're a little sweet, I hope you give a little hey when you throw it. Throw the hey when you throw it. Ain't nobody going to care, because if that bitch ends up in six, then you can hey and you can hoo and you can holla. As long as that bitch ends up in 7 points, I don't think the people really care. This is the beauty of sports.
As long as your parlay hit.
As long as the parlays hit, and as long as there's winning involved, I don't think. Why do y'all think sports is so beautiful when it comes to bringing people together? Y'all didn't watch Remember the Titans?
Bye. Let's talk about our dynasty meeting. What the
Oh, man. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, Danny and I are in a 10-team dynasty league. It is a 10-team single QB PPR dynasty league. We are entering in now year three of this league, and I think this year, year three, is going to be probably the most exciting year. So this year, just coming out of some of the feedback that we had had last year, being the commissioner, this year it was a good. So it was suggested that we have like a yearly owners meeting so that we could suggest any potential rule changes, format changes, so on and so forth. So about a week and some change ago, we had our first ever owners meeting. It was a really, really, really good about 30 minutes, just getting folks in there, getting their thoughts on some potential new rule changes and some of the implications. So I think some of the rules that have been passed and will go into effect going forward, we have our taxi squad. So now everyone has a taxi squad, two-person taxi squad for first and second year players. We decided to keep the additional points, additional bonus points that you got on plays of 40 and 50 plus yards. People like the explosive plays. Or the other ones. There was the free agent based waivers. So now everyone has a budget of 150 to spend throughout the year for their free agents. I've already spent a couple dollars. And I think the biggest change that I was a little excited for, but didn't think it was actually going to pass. We had on the docket a vote to make this to change our format from single QB dynasty PPR to a super flex dynasty PPR league in 2027. It needed seven of the 10 votes to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, that bitch passed with seven votes on the dot.
So who voted no? I voted no. Who else voted no?
Let me see.
Did Akili vote no? I feel like Akili was against Akili it at first. No.
I think Akili voted no. And I think
Akili feels me.
I don't have who voted.
And Kyle. No. Kyle voted no. So Kyle, myself, and Akili voted no.
Yep. Yep. Kyle, Akili, and Danny all voted no. The rest of the league voted yes. And I was essentially the last vote. And
wait, how Bam vote no? Hold on. Stop the count. Hold on.
No, he didn't.
Stop the count.
No, he didn't.
Oh, he lying?
One of y'all voted yes. Like I'm not going back. Like one of y'all voted yes.
I think Akili voted no. I think Akili was very clear that
no. Bam voted yes. Now think about it. Bam.
Yeah, it was definitely Bam.
Bam. No, Bam voted yes.
Bum ass. I know it was him.
Bam did vote yes because I remember Bam was sitting in front of his like little he was on his porch or something with glasses on, and we were like, Bam, what do you think? And I think Bam asked who did such and such vote, and then he was like, all right, I'll Bam. Oh my gosh. Ladies and gentlemen, Bam is trying to say Bam.
Yeah, listen, yeah, Bam.
There were six people, there were like six or seven people on the call. There were six or seven. So if Bam would have voted no, it would have been a no vote. And we got a yes vote, and my math wasn't wrong. So
I wasn't there. I had to leave. But Bam, I believe Bam. Yeah, I voted no.
Listen, and Bam did vote. Bam wouldn't have voted yes because I remember that one of the last things I said was, "We need one more person to vote yes." Whatever. I'm not doing this. Bam voted one. Either Akili or Bam. One of y'all voted yes.
No, Akili was very strong when I was there. Akili was very strong. No, he was with me. He and I were both no.
Bam voted yes. Anyway, it's 2027 Superflex League. Whatever. What are your thoughts?
We do need a recount, Akili. I think stop the count. Stop the count. I mean, I didn't want it to be a super flex league, but the rest of the league said yes. So got to strategize and prepare for a two quarterback super flex league in 2 years. I think we need to take this to court though. Collusion.
There's nothing to take.
I think listen, this is mad collusion.
There's no collusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Here I go. Here I go.
Don't tell me you got the tape.
Okay, number four, because I didn't take who voted which, but I did vote. I did keep track of what passed and what didn't. Two-person taxi passed with 10 votes. Free agent waivers passed with 7 yes votes. Removing bonus points was denied with 10 no votes.
Yep.
This one, the Superflex League, was literally, it's right here written, passed in parentheses barely with 7 votes. And this was last updated on 3/18/24. I didn't get this from nowhere.
I want to recount too, Bam. So if it's my understanding, Jason was the last one who was like, fuck it, let's do it.
That was the 7th vote. That was the 7th vote. Dylan was another one. Darius was the other one. Greg was the other one. Thinking who else?
You.
Say it, not say it was 5.
Yep.
I was 6. You were no. Akili was no. Kyle was no. Who did that leave as the last yes?
Jason. That mother.
No, Bam was in there too. Jason, Greg, Dylan, Darius.
You.
Me. Say it, not say it. Bam.
I don't believe it.
How many fingers am I holding up?
I can't count.
That's... You can't count this? That's 7. You.
That's collusion.
Like, y'all are wrong. Y'all are wrong. Y'all can't change it. Y'all are wrong.
Yeah, Bam. Bam, I love it.
Bam's just trying to be an ass. Bam's just being an ass.
Yeah, I think, Akili, I think there's some shadow work going on over here. I think
that what's funny is Akili, Bam, and Kyle were all there in the chat, and now they acting like they don't remember it because you left. So you left, but they was all on the call, and all of a sudden they got brain fog. Whatever. Let me tell you something. I'm actually really excited. I think there's when I was in the meeting, just listening to people's thoughts on the Superflex. I agree with the people. There's pros and cons, but I think some of the pros really outweigh some of the cons.
Kyle,
what you just said definitely happened.
Okay, so Kyle said, I'm pretty sure Bam voted no at first, but then changed his mind. Why'd you change your mind, dog? Why'd you change your mind?
And Akili, I was keeping track of all the yeses and all the noes. I just didn't write down who voted.
Akili wants you to print out ballots and mail them and write our names on them and send them back to you.
Next year, I'll send out like a Google vote. I'll send like a Google poll for everyone. That'll be easy. That's an easy switch. I can easily make that next year. But I'm excited. I think in a few years, honestly, in a 10-team league, I think a lot of people's No, Akili, I kept okay. For folks in the chat, Akili's trying to accuse me of not keeping up with this. No, I'm keeping up with it. Y'all just not remembering properly. Because y'all not remembering. Here's the funny part. Listen, I get on the call with 6 to 7 people. Enough people for us to vote. Right, and I go by and I literally ask, you were on the call with me. I ask everybody, yo, yes or no, person A, person B, yes or no, person C, yes or no, and that's how I was keeping it. Now, all of a sudden, people don't remember where they voted. Okay,
we're gonna keep in Peach D on the screen for the rest of the show,
yeah. Peach D, honestly, here's my biggest thing. I think a lot of people's teams in this dynasty league that we're in, that were transitioning to a super league in 2027, a lot of y'all teams are going to be way better off than you think. And I think with the right roster movement and roster management, I think if let's just say you need more QBs on your roster, I feel like you may have draft or player capital to make some shifts happen. Maybe you don't have to go the full super flex route if you feel like with one QB, you can still get it done just off your skill position. So I think it'll just, I think it'll give a lot of people more roster flexibility. It'll also give people another bench player, which I think having another bench spot will be very good. I think a lot of people, will be happy to have the extra bench spot. And if it means they have to, you know, start figuring out another QB for the super flex spot, they'll do that. But I think that extra bench spot is going to mean something to people. So, I don't know. I'm excited. And I'm very curious to see how the managers in this particular league kind of shift, because I'm gonna be honest with you. I would say one thing I've been fairly impressed with, in this league as a commissioner is so many different approaches to roster building in here. So many different approaches to team building, to like team theories and ways of how they're building teams. I'm just been impressed. I've seen a lot of people in here like Bam who don't really believe a lot in draft capital and they just want the players. Yeah. I've seen people like Shits and Grins, who your cousin Jason, who use a combination of draft capital and player capital to completely gut and redo a team. There are people like myself who probably had a lot of player capital in the past and have now since turned that player capital into pure draft capital. Yep. And now I'm looking at this year as a big, big year in terms of draft for my team and what we look like in a few years. So I don't know. I think I'm excited. I know it's a bigger change, but that's why when I initially proposed this to the league for us to vote on, I wanted to make sure we had that cushion from now to when we started, right? Because I wouldn't have done it like next year, right? Because that's just corny. I want to give people some time to really start trading, drafting. I mean, essentially we have this rookie draft, next rookie draft, 2026 rookie draft. So that's three draft classes to put your roster in a position to where when that super flex comes in 2027, you feel good about it.
Yeah. So, I just didn't want it.
Let me ask you something, and this will be the last question, and then we can start talking some basketball. So when we think about this league year in 2027, do you think I should adjust the rosters immediately after the champion is crowned in 2026?
That extra roster spot. Yeah. Like as soon as the season is over, we turn the league year starts the day after. So yeah, I would add the roster spot after a champion is crowned.
I think so too. All right, basketball. Let's start with a little March Madness. You want to start on the men's or women's tournament? Probably better do the men's.
Yeah, let's do the men's because that's kind of boring.
Yeah, here's my quick rundown. The men's tournament. I'll let you go. UConn. Listen, UConn looks legit. Everybody was talking about UConn being in the toughest region to start before the tournament. Then you see them through two rounds, and you're saying, "Oh, it's not. It might be a real cakewalk to them. It might be a real cakewalk."
Yes.
To them. My second thought when I watch UNC, here's what I'm saying: damn, why don't y'all go to the fucking NBA? Y'all's draft stock can't be this bad.
Did you see? I think like the average age for the UNC roster is the same or close to the average age of the Thunder.
Yeah, like it makes. Listen.
Indeed.com.
Is it? How do I say this? At what year do you think UNC is doing these players a disservice by making them stay?
No.
Or not making them stay, but like injecting that brotherhood 4-year mentality into these players?
No, because that's what all coaches want. They want to build continuity. They want to build a roster where, you know, every 3-4 years, it's a senior-led roster. No, and if it's, I think we're in a time where players have all the power. So if a player decides that they want to stay, like look at Edie at Purdue, right? He know he gonna be Zubac in the league. So why not dominate in college? Same with Baycott. Like they know they're not gonna be much.
Yeah, but I also think part of that. But I also think part of that is when he started. Let's just say if he's a 5-year senior, right? That means his first year was 2019. That means, here's my thing. I think when it comes to some of these players like Zach Edey who stay, it's because, you know, if you come out the next, like, essentially what I'm, how do I say this? When I think of players like Zach Edey who stayed and dominated, to me, it's like, yo, you kind of pussy.
Why?
You afraid of not being a lottery pick, so you go back in school to make sure that next time you come out, you're a lottery pick. But after the third year, if you still don't feel comfortable or confident enough that you could leave school right now and be a lottery pick, pussy.
Maybe.
And I'm only talking on the men's side, not talking about the women's side.
Maybe they aren't mature.
I'm talking about the
men's. They don't feel like they're mature enough to be an NBA player. I respect, like, if you want to stay more than 1 year, then stay. How many times do we see someone play 1 year, go to NBA, and then they flame out because they can't handle what it means to be a professional basketball player?
Okay, but what about those guys who go back to school and hurt their draft stock, and they come in and now, where they would have went top 5, 10, now they're going top 15, 20.
That's the gamble you take. Like, I think you understand that when you say, hey, I'm coming back. Because for some of these kids, it may not be about going pro. Like, some of them, it could be, hey, I want to get this free education and I want the full college experience. And that's okay, right? Like, not everyone needs to jump to league. Like, if, like, I keep talking about Baycott. Like, if Baycott's like, hey, I want to stay, play my 5 years at UNC, and see where the chips fall after that, then okay, then good for him. That's his choice. Same with Edey. Like, good for y'all.
Pussy, yo. I'm sorry. Here's my problem. The men's college basketball game is so bad. It's so slow. It's nothing like what you're going to experience when you go into the NBA. And if you really... Ooh, I'm about to get on my Cardale Jones shit. I'm about to get on my Cardale Jones shit.
Okay.
Yo, let's be honest. A lot of y'all basketball players are going to these basketball powerhouses. You're not going to school for school. You're going to school for basketball. Mm-hmm. Same way Cardale Jones was going to school for football, and he was confused as to why he had to go to class.
Classic tweet. Best tweet ever.
And I'm not saying y'all don't have to go to class, but I'm saying a lot of y'all, if you're going to the UNCs, the Dukes, the Kentuckys, the Kansas, the Gonzagas of the world, the Purdue, the Illinois, the Indiana.
Don't put Gonzaga in that list.
The Texases, the Floridas of the world, these basketball programs, I think all of you go to these schools with the NBA in mind. And then you get to school and then you kind of realize,
look at
NBA is not going to be for you, and that's what makes you want to stay the 4 years, which I understand. That's a realization that you could come to. But if for some of these guys, they are going to these schools because they want to play in the NBA, and if you know the NBA game is nothing like the college game, get the fuck out. 2 years max.
Drew Timmy said, "I ain't gonna be a good pro. Just, let me max
the college game. Oh, you're hurting yourself."
I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him. Like,
I'm not mad at any basketball or football player who's staying. Well, basketball player, because we're talking about basketball. I'm not mad at any basketball player who stays because they know they're likely not going to have an NBA career, so they want to make NIL money. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to the guys like the Baycocks of the world.
But Baycott's not going to be a good pro, though. An NBA player. Do you think Baycott's going to be a good pro?
Okay, well, go make some of that. But you can still go make some of that bench money. That's the same issue. That's probably more than your NIL money.
If he doesn't want to do that at this point in his life, then good for him. I'm not mad at him. Like, that's his choice. If he wants to stay in school, I am not going to criticize him for that. If he wants to go to the league to make more money, I won't criticize him for that either.
Well, all I'm saying is watching UNC. I'm watching UNC, and I'm just saying, yo, if you old group of fucks don't get the fuck on, like, get on. The fuck are y'all saying, you old fucks?
That's crazy.
Put in the application at fucking Sherman Williams or go any and name in the draft.
That's crazy.
But the ACC is overall looking strong in the tournament on the men's side. UNC, Duke, and Clemson in the Sweet 16. Yep. The fuck did Clemson become a basketball school?
They got hot at the end.
But let's talk about the real tournament. Yeah, they did. Let's talk about the real tournament. Let's talk about the real NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
The women's
tournament. Let's talk about the women's tournament.
Oh, brother.
Buddy.
Listen, I'm going to start this one out. I'm going to look in the camera when I say this. University of Baylor. Y'all won that game. And salute and respect. But y'all did not beat Virginia Tech basketball that day.
Oh, okay.
Y'all did not beat Virginia Tech women's basketball that day. Listen. The Baylor Lady Bears beat the Virginia Lady Hokies 76-80, I believe, on Sunday. It was a game that, or 72-75 or something like that. It was a game that the Hokies played without Liz Keatley, ACC Player of the Year, arguably the best player on the team, and we barely lost that game. Baylor, I want you to know that from the end of time, we will have beef. Not because you beat my school in the round of 32, but because essentially you have sent Virginia Tech basketball, men or women, back to mediocrity, yep, back to the gulag, yep, back to the gutter, back to the shit stain. Why?
Oh, boy is gone.
Because after that bullshit that happened on Sunday, after ducking and dodging this question for the last week and a half, finally came out and resigned as women's basketball coach at Virginia Tech to take the head coaching job at the University of Kentucky. So, Baylor,
the women's coaching job at Kentucky.
Yes, the women's coaching job at Kentucky. Calipari is still the men's. Lady Bears, I want you to know I'm never going to forgive you. Never. Every time I think about that game, I get the same image of Liz Keatley sitting on the sideline crying because she couldn't be out there with her teammates to help defend the castle.
Can we talk about real hoops now?
Shout out. I mean,
that Iowa-LSU rematch is going to hit like crack. Juju and USC versus UConn is going to hit like crack. That Albany and Portland region
will be prime time.
Let me tell you something about Juju. Juju going to break Caitlin Clark's record. She going to break Caitlin's record.
You think she's going to stay all 4 years?
Oh, yeah. She going to break Caitlin's record. She going to break that shit.
Why you say that?
I mean, look at her. She's a, how many points she scored as a, I think she scored the most points as a freshman. We've seen Juju play. She is going to break Caitlin's record.
Yeah. Listen. This is what
crack, bam. It is going to hit Juju like crack.
Prime
sign
time.
Sign me up. There's no game in the men's bracket that matches up to a national championship rematch of Iowa and LSU, if we get that, and UConn versus USC. Like, there are no two games on the men's side that even come close to being as good as those two games. And then you got South Carolina.
Don't let us get South Carolina and LSU for the natty. Oh, my God.
We never.
Is that even possible?
That's not bad. Yeah, so, yeah, so they would meet. They would meet in the national.
That's my national championship game.
So South Carolina would either play Texas, Gonzaga, NC State, or Stanford in the Final Four. And then the Final Four on the other side of the bracket would be that'd be the Iowa. Hopefully it's Iowa, LSU, and then UConn, USC would be the other, hopefully, Final Four. Dog, just put that on primetime. I don't care about the men's tournament. Only thing I care about on the men's side is that big Eddie Winslow-looking dude from NC State repping for all the fat men across the country.
He did look like Eddie Winslow. Holy shit. I was watching that game saying, this motherfucker look for me. I was, you know, the Leo commercial, the Leo meme. I'm sitting there like, I know this, man.
That's Eddie Winslow. I'm waiting for him to hit. Do you remember the A1 mixtape? Highlight will escalate when he throw no look pass out the post and point to the crowd. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for that man to hit that joint. It's coming. It's coming. He gonna hit that pass, and that's gonna be on the internet forever.
Oh,
he gonna hit that pass.
Listen. First off, I'm gonna say this: South Carolina is so dominant that we don't even need to talk about them.
Dog, that UNC game was embarrassing.
What they did to North Carolina is just not fun.
Yeah, I turn that off. After
you play South Carolina and you just get like pumped. Like they straight punk
you. And they're nice, right? They punk you, and Dawn is like nice. Like, oh man, that's a great game. God bless you. Be safe.
It's a great game. Listen, I'm praying that we get LSU, South Carolina, and the Natty. I'm praying.
Oh man,
because that's going to be fight. The spiciness that we need. That's going to be LSU is the only team that can really play with. That can really play with South Carolina. They're the only team that's physical and big enough. The only team that's not afraid to match them.
Then they've played them times this year.
But I'm gonna say this. Say what?
They've already played them three times, and they're 0-3 against South Carolina this year.
Oh yeah, South Carolina's won every single game. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're the only team that can play them close.
They're the only team that.
Here's what I'm gonna say. I do want to see South Carolina and an LSU natty. But what would make me feel even better is watching LSU and them girls beat down Iowa.
Yes.
And send that little white girl
We're on the same page. We are on the same page.
Send her home.
And it's not because she's white. Sad. It's because she's very annoying and she cries a lot. She does a. Did you see the clip of her dad telling her, shut up?
Shut up.
He's like, shut up. Yeah, like, shut up.
Here's my. You know what's funny when you watch Iowa? And whatchamacallit, who did they just play? Nebraska? No.
They played Nebraska. Who did they just play in the tournament? Round. Hold on, I got it right here. Middle Tennessee. No, that was LSU. LSU played Middle Tennessee.
It was
I got you. Hold on.
Fuck.
Gotta zoom in. Iowa just played West Virginia. It was just West Virginia.
West Virginia. You know, West Virginia exposed, at least to me, about Iowa. There's only one true ball handler on that team, and that's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. I don't know why team just don't press her up the floor. Like, I would make her exert so much energy. I'm going to press you every time.
And I'm saying, I think that's what's going to happen when they got to go against, like, these bigger, like, SEC-type schools. I think they're going to kind of.
Or, like, they try to hide her on defense. No. Like, you know how the NBA, they pick on you? Put her in the high pick and roll. If they switch, going to exert so much energy. She ain't got time to shoot 30-foot threes. Nah, dog. I'm going to press you up the floor, and I'm going to challenge you on defense.
I think – are you calling it right now? LSU and Iowa play this weekend?
No, so they both need to win, and then they'd be in the fine – because this is Sweet 16. They'd meet in the
– Win both their games this week.
Yeah, if they win this week. No, if they win their next game, they'll play each other.
Oh, the Elite Eight's not this weekend?
It is this weekend. One, two. Yeah, so they're in the Elite Eight now. So
they got to win their second game this week.
No, if LSU beats UCLA and if Iowa beats Colorado, Iowa and LSU meet. So we're in the Sweet 16 for them. So if they win, they meet in the Elite Eight. Oh my. And then the other Elite Eight matchup would be USC and UConn.
Yeah, we need that.
We need that. I need Juju to torch Paige. Paige says she's coming back to UConn. Juju going to show her why. Stay another year, sis.
All right. Last section of the day. A little big deal or no deal. We got a few items on here. And these are all, ladies and gentlemen, expect a lot of jokes to get ran off on this.
Jamie out here getting these jokes off.
Jamie being Jamie in the comments.
Hold on, let's find the Jamie comment about Caitlin Clark. It was quite comical. Where's it at? Where's it at? There it is. Jamie said, white girl with daddy issues. Send her to my home.
I think you meant send her to my home.
Keep it her.
All right. The only thing you'll find at your home is the Federales.
All right, Diddy. Be careful.
Yo, what are your thoughts on no Diddy?
Hilarious. So funny. It's the funny. It has to replace Pause. No Diddy. Like Mace used it perfectly. No Diddy.
Yeah, no Diddy. What are your thoughts on Puff's house is getting raided yesterday at the same time and him being found on a plane in Antigua?
He going to jail.
I saw that. I said, he where? I just looked at it. Maybe Puff did that.
His black ass is going to jail. He and R. Kelly are going to be in the talent show fighting for control of the prison every single year. He going to jail.
Yo, do you know what I still remember? R. Kelly's interview with Gayle?
I watched it the other day. He said,
go ahead.
No, remember he was like, he just started talking uncontrollably. And she's like, you just can't sit here and shout at the camera. And he said, you wanted my side of the story. And she said, no, this is an interview. Like, he just starts screaming again.
He said all these lies. She said, which one are lies? Which one are lies, Robert? He said, all of them.
All of them. Do you remember his interview with Tori? And Tori was like, do you like teenage girls? And he was like, well, how are we talking?
Hey,
look. When you say teenage girls, how old are we talking?
Listen, sometimes I'll be sitting around my house and I find myself just randomly saying, all the time, I'm not all the time, nobody.
Oh, and it's still.
And it still doesn't beat.
Well, he's got AIDS.
Holy fuck. He said, Hogta. Oh, not Hogta, nobody.
It does not beat the he got AIDS line from Donald Sterling. That is the
That's the best line ever. Magic Johnson was just somewhere chilling, somewhere through the distance. He just heard a stray bullet from Donald Sterling. He's like, yeah, but he got AIDS. Like, goddamn.
Big Magic Johnson. What has he done? He's got AIDS.
Get AIDS. Yo, speaking of which, you remember that one All-Star game after Magic came back? He had either bled or sweat a little bit on the court, and Karl Malone just looked at that shit like it was the fucking. Karl Malone was looking at that shit like, no, no, I'm not touching him.
Karl Malone playing in a long sleeve t-shirt.
Oh man! Oh, holy shit!
Carl got his 14-year-old girlfriend to knit him a sweater.
Holy shit. Bam. I'm going to get back to you about that trade. You didn't fleece me, by the way. I just gotta regain myself. Speaking of shit that don't make no sense. Shohei Ohtani, his interpreter apparently has been deemed a crazy ass thief. Apparently, he was accused of stealing millions of dollars from Shohei Ohtani to pay some gambling debts. Yep. And now they're on investigation. Shohei Ohtani hasn't really made a lot of, you know, statements to the press, but his one statement was, I've not been involved in any gambling, so on and so forth. Danny, is this interpreter a crazy ass thief, or is he a real homeboy for taking the fall for his homie's bad gambling debts?
This is what Michael Vick's team should have done for him. Take the fall. You don't mess up the cash cow. How big is Ohtani's contract? He just signed it with the man. I did it. It was me. I did all that shit. He ain't know nothing. I stole that money.
Yeah.
It was me.
Yo, if I had a billion dollar contract, you taking the fall for me? Yes. Something like this?
Yes, I'm taking the fall. You, as long as you take care of me and mine, yes. That's the understanding. I ain't taking the fall to take the fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dog, Michael Vick had just signed two $100 million contracts, and none of his homies took the fall.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Let me tell you something. I was reading it and I was sitting there just saying, like, oh, first off, who the fuck was Ohtani betting on that he lost that much money? One. Two, yeah, no, if I'm his homie, I'm taking that fall fast, too.
What's the worst that can happen?
I'm looking at Ohtani and saying, if I'm the homeboy, I'm looking at Ohtani and saying, you wire my wife $15 million. I'm going to take the fall for this. Pretend like it never happened. I'm going to go to jail. I'm
going to
sit
up. He's not even going to go to jail.
Are you not going to jail?
I don't think. I know gambling is illegal.
I need 20 M's.
I know gambling is illegal in California. Like, there's no FanDuel or DraftKings in California, but I can't imagine he going to jail. That'd be insane. Man, be the fall guy. Know your role. He knows his role.
And I don't think this is the homeboy also trying to cover this up. I think the MLB is looking at this like, no fucking way. The MLB and the Dodgers. Jamie, I think the MLB, I think the Dodgers, and I think Shohei Ohtani's homeboy are all doing Shohei Ohtani a super favor and basically telling him, yo, you literally bring too much money into this game for us to suspend you. You're going to have to, your homeboy is going to have to take the fall for this, and we got to sweep this under the rug.
Quickly.
We really got to sweep this. What's up?
And you better hope that no reporter gets a scoop on what really happened, that this is yours. Like, there better not be any proof that this is yours. Oh, shit. Jamie ain't lying.
Okay. Yeah, no, I got it pulled up too. So, so for everyone in the comments wondering, Adam Schefter just recently retweeted or reposted or whatever that a convicted child molester has been sentenced to 220 years in federal prison for producing child sexual abuse material and hacking the Jumbotron at the Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium after the team learned he was a registered sex offender and fired him.
Oh, they're going to beat his ass in jail. Get that thing ready, boy.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what that means. Like, not like I understand the charges, but I'm like confused. So like he had child pornography on his and he hacked the Jumbotron with this shit.
I hope he didn't put it on the Jumbotron.
Listen, throw him under the
That's
jail.
Too nice. Throw him in the swamp and build the jail on top of him.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of gambling, did you hear about NBA champion Michael Porter Jr.'s cousin, who the NBA is now reportedly investigating? He plays for the Raptors. His name is Jontay Porter. They're investigating him for irregularities with sports betting. Danny, first question. You think he did that shit?
Yes. You know what? He the only person who know to bet on himself. I didn't know you could sign up for Jontay Porter.
He's betting on himself. He won't bet on his cousin. I thought he was betting the over on his cousin's points because Michael Porter had been going crazy since the All-Star.
No, apparently Jontay Porter, the guy in Toronto, was betting on himself. Like, he was betting like the under. He was betting rebounds. And then he played for a couple minutes, said he had an eye injury, said he re-aggravated. And if I'm wrong, Kyle, correct me, saying his eye hurt, and then he was out the rest of the game, so he hit on everything. He bet on himself, if I am not mistaken.
Adam Silver, Roger Goodell, Fred Manfred. Congratulations. This is what y'all wanted.
What you want? Like this,
Dana White, congratulations.
This is going to happen more
wanted.
And more.
Y'all wanted that. Y'all wanted that MGM grand money and all that? This is what y'all going to get.
This is what you get.
Now, whenever people say that the integrity of the game has now been, this is what they're talking about.
Especially with the way these refs acted.
Mm-hmm. Because here's my thinking. We're talking about the Jontay Porters of the world who are dumb enough to get caught. What about the A-list superstar-esque players who are smart enough to not get caught? Smart enough to give 10, 15 Gs to their fourth, fifth removed cousin.
Correct.
So they can set up a little FanDuel account.
Correct. Listen, man, the more these stories come out, the more sensitized we'll become to it. But this is like you said, this is what happens when you get into bed with sports gambling. We're going to be talking about gambling with the same tenor that we talk about opioids in 5 years. Like, there are a bunch of degenerates that are coming out of the woodwork for this gambling.
A lot of people.
And it's going to take more than calling 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know if we're too late, but
Oh, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. We're done. This is a done thing.
Yeah, but I think one of these, it would not surprise me that if in a few years one of these sports leagues finds a way to get out of bed with some of the sports betting stuff.
I think the only way you can probably do that is
because I think it's going to come down. Because I think it's going to come to a point where you're really questioning the integrity of the league.
Well, it's going to have to be done by the federal government. I think the only way to get out of bed is to have the government regulate gambling so much that it's not worth the juice isn't worth the squeeze, and that's going to take a lot of regulation because gambling is extremely profitable. So if the leagues want to get out of bed with the gambler, it's probably going to be the federal government that has to regulate this to a point where it's not worth it. And I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Sure. Speaking of things that the league did do, the league suspended Chris Dunn and Jabari Smith. I don't know if you saw, but a couple nights ago, they got into a little kerfuffle. I don't want to call it a scuffle, and I definitely don't want to call it a fight because not a single punch landed. Nope. But they suspended him for pushing and throwing punches.
You know what that was? Adam Silver knew this Porter story was coming out and was like, you know what? Somebody gonna feel my wrath. Whoever swing first, you getting it. And it was them two. And he's like, cool.
The thing is, they swung, but nobody connected.
Crazy. I mean, that's a typical NBA fight. What LaMelo Ball said, ain't nobody trying to fight.
Ain't nobody in a fight in the NBA.
Ain't nobody fighting.
Yeah, you're right. I will say, I think it was Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn threw a haymaker from the parking lot. I'm talking about if that thing connected, Chris Dunn wouldn't be playing in the NBA no more.
Hey, sometime it'd be like that.
Because I'm talking, Yo, it brings me back. How did they get suspended for these air punches, but Draymond Green didn't get suspended for the fake shank movements that he was making? Dog. Remember that?
Listen, Adam Silver don't want Draymond walking in. Draymond would walk into Adam's office like Ice Cube with a baseball bat if he suspended him.
Coming through that bitch like, what's good, Adam?
What's good, Adam?
What the fuck we talking about here, Nick?
Yeah, who got you? Who put the link?
Hey,
who put the link back on the map with the dynasty? Cuz that was me.
That was me, cuz. All right. A little WWE.
Let's do this. Let's
make this quick. Thoughts on Jimmy versus Jey Uso at WrestleMania official.
Yep.
It's gonna be fine.
It's gonna be heat.
I think it's gonna be underrated, one of the best matches of the night. I think they're gonna put up a great match.
Can't wait. And WrestleMania is this weekend.
They said it's been their dream. Yeah. And WrestleMania is this weekend. And they said it's been like a dream of theirs to wrestle each other. So I think it's gonna be a really good match. A match I'm not as excited about. Gunther versus Sami Zayn.
So I think last night they played it. I don't know if Zayn's going to turn heel, but he's going to use heel tactics to win. Because who said last night to him, yo, you need to change the way you approach this? Like, they're definitely planting the seeds for either a heel turn or him to throw his integrity out the window. Will he beat Gunther? I don't know. I think he loses to Gunther and that completes the heel turn. But
I think he's going to. Here's my thing. I think Sammy this weekend is going to get beat down. I see this being like a 15-minute squabble match.
I agree, and I think that's what turns him heel, 100%.
A match I am more excited about, Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton. What are your thoughts there?
I just want to see what crazy thing Logan Paul is going to do. I think Orton's going to win because Orton hasn't gotten a win. A meaningful win since he's gotten back from injury. He needs that. He'll use that as a momentum shift for the rest of the year. I don't see the crazy thing Logan Paul does because he always does something crazy.
Mm-hmm. Now, listen. The Bloodline versus Cody, Seth, and Jay, or whatever this little... This is getting lit.
Last
night, The Rock beat the hell out of Cody Rhodes. Beat that boy bad. Mama Rhodes.
Belt.
Shout out to the OG original Hollywood Rock coming back.
Love it. Dog, Cody bladed last night. When's the last time a WWE wrestler bladed? That's how that cut.
Bladed.
So those who don't know blading.
I thought you said bloated. Well, this is an interesting conversation we're getting here.
So for those who don't know,
he had to sell it.
Yeah. Because The Rock smacks the camera, and then so blading, for those who don't know, is when a wrestler takes a razor blade and makes a cut above their eyelid because it bleeds. It's very dramatic. They don't cut themselves on camera, but like that's how the blood comes. Man, it was old. Mm-hmm. It was old school. Man, it was just old school.
Old school. When it felt like 01, 02, 03.
Yeah, like remember when Hollywood Hogan crashed the truck into the ambulance with the Rock in? Like that's what it felt like. It felt like he like mm-hmm. only like, if he'd have thrown Cody over the ledge, I thought I was like, oh, he about to kill that man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of them. I was like, oh, we really going here with it. Like, you see how Rock brought back the guitar and the disses mm-hmm. and the songs. Then Cody got him back with the slap. I even like some of like their promo back and forth. Although I think sometimes Cody can use a little bit of work on his promo, but I think it's not because of his lead. I think sometimes he's got to put a little more energy in it. But I think for the most part, I like him on the mic. Here's what I will say though. A couple weeks ago, I was saying I think they are setting this up for Cody to beat Roman. I might be flipping again. I might be phony. I think Roman might keep this bitch.
I think we're getting Roman Rock. Like Rock is calling himself the final boss. Like there's
final boss.
Yeah, there's going to be a fight for power in the bloodline. I think Roman wins, and I've said Roman's going to win the entire time. Like Roman is going to keep the belt. Cody's story does not end with a championship. Yeah. Cody wins money in the bank.
You know what I think? I think Drew beats Seth.
Really?
I think Drew beats Seth. I think Cody beats Drew. And I think that's how they give Cody a championship. They have to give him a championship.
I think they
give Roman some time after this WrestleMania, let it calm down. Then when he comes back talking his shit, braggadocious shit, that's when The Rock around SummerSlam time comes back.
Give it to me. The Rock's interest is so dope now. Like, shout out to whoever thought, like, the lightning bolts as he walks through the barrier. Like, come on, man. Like, we back. Like, I was very skeptical. You know how I feel about old timers coming back. I hate it, but this has been done perfectly.
And I like The Rock really leaning into, yo, we had a match scheduled for me and Roman, and you bitches fucked this up. So fuck y'all.
Fuck y'all. I love it too. Did you see Becky? Becky really punched Dom last night. She stole on him. That was a real punch. She stole on him. You see Rhea this weekend at the house show.
So my theory of us getting Nia Jax versus Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, I think we can officially say it's a little died out at this point. It's not happening.
I'm mad Bianca and Jade aren't going at it. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah, I'm a little confused on what their arc angle is. Like, does Bianca really even have a match?
No, for WrestleMania? The only women's match is Rhea and Becky, if I'm not mistaken.
And EO versus Bayley.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's it.
So.
Like, Bianca doesn't have anything to do. Jade doesn't have anything to do. Yeah, EO and Bailey, Rhea and Becky.
Bam. This is how I know your ass voted yes when it came to that Superflex in the comments talking about some Rhea stink face was heaven. Wish it was me. Freak ass boy.
First of all, Bam.
Freak ass boy.
You are married. I don't think your wife would appreciate this kind of chatter. But I ain't no snitch.
I ain't a snitch either, Bam.
But Bam.
Hold on.
Bam is married with a child. Two children.
Oh, he got kids? Wait a minute. Bam got kids?
Don't ruin a happy... Yeah, Bam. Yeah, someone procreated with Bam. It's crazy to say out loud, ain't it?
Bam. How you getting these bars up at the top?
Oh, no. Bam said
I'm sorry.
No, we got to go. Sorry, that's the last it. Thing. No,
this
we got to go. Get this nasty ass man.
The last thing you never...
That's
the. This is the last thing. Last thing, ladies and gentlemen. And then we're going to wrap this show up. Oh, my God. Listen, ladies. and gentlemen, I'm not lying when I tell y'all I may have a sick, twisted sense of humor, but this shit right here, y'all can't tell me this is not
comedy. Somebody sent me some on my phone and said that a hog tied her. I don't know how to hog tie people. What would a hog tie?
Now run that back one more time. No. One more time. One more time.
Did it. A hog tied her. I don't know how to hog tie people. What would a hog tie?
I'm
no, dead ass. Put it up one more time. One more time. Please, one more time.
Listen, y'all, I just need. The crazy part is R. Kelly did this interview thinking it would help him. It would help him. Oh my God. Oh man.
Oh.
Golly. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, make sure you follow the podcast at speakonit_pod. That is speakonit_pod, P-O-D. On all socials, X, Instagram, YouTube, all the shits.
I don't know how to hog that.
Read that note from your cousin. I told you I'm not crazy. And of course, Akili didn't left now.
Damn it.
So for everyone who's watching, Bam just said, I did vote yes on the Superflex. We know. We know. Oh,
shit.
We know.
Can we vote to kick him out the league? I hate this man.
No, vote to keep him in the league. And Bam, I'm going to go back. Listen, Danny, last thing. So Bam says he fleeced me in that trade for Stephon Diggs.
Would you like to read the trade to the people?
I don't think so. Yeah, so the trade was, I believe it was a view all. Trade between those. So it was Dontavius Wicks and 210 for Stephon Diggs and Roquan Smith.
I think
now notice I made this trade after our Superflex vote. So that's why I included Roquan Smith in there because, well, next year we're having a vote on IDPs.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was reading some tea leaves, it don't sound like IDPs are going to be there next year.
That's fair.
So. And for Stephon Diggs, I mean, I didn't really want to trade him, but I figured if I was going to trade him, second or third round picks. But yeah, he's right. I did laugh. He did send me that trade a day early, and I laughed in his face. But that was before I knew IDPs were going away. More than likely.
Bam. Read the come get some. Come get some tight end depth. Stop playing. Your tight end room is weak.
But. I don't think that trade was really bad because I was just trying to get draft capital and something about Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. Not to say it's wrong, but I learned in the school of GMing from what's your man's name? Howie Long GM in school.
Howie Roseman.
You'd rather trade him to Howie Roseman. You'd rather trade him too early than too late. Oh, and Brian Gutekunst also taught me that. So.
Someone come get Dallas Goedert while we're here. Someone come get Dallas Goedert.
Yo, I've been doing, last thing before we get out here. I've been doing a lot of mock drafts, and I can tell you.
That's crazy.
When it gets to that third round, I'm telling you, when I be doing mock drafts, I just be like, I know I'm going to get, unless people go crazy. I think I'm going to get most of the people that I think I'm going to get in this league.
I'm praying for you.
But I'm really curious. I'm more so curious to see now how soon people start drafting quarterbacks.
Oh, there's going to be a run in the second round, if I had to guess.
I know. And what I'm also curious on is during the draft, how many offers I start getting for some of these third round picks. Everyone's talking to me crazy, like, no, third rounders don't mean nothing. Third rounders don't mean nothing. Okay, there's 10 of us in here. I own 60% of the picks in the third round. I can guarantee I will be getting some trade offers on draft day.
And bam, kiss my ass. How about that?
Danny, any last words for the people before we get out?
Kiss my ass, bam.
Here. This is something I do want to. And actually, this time I can go straight from my I don't know if you listen to Future like that, but Future dropped a new project with Metro Boomin this past
week. I haven't listened to it, but I know about the project.
And let me tell you something. There's a song on here that the first time I heard it, I had to play it back like 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
You might have heard it. It's the song you probably know about.
Yes.
Listen, as soon as I heard that, I said, oh, hold on now.
Hold on now.
Ladies and gentlemen, you could have been anywhere in the world today, but you were here with us. And all we can do is thank and appreciate you. Listen. Okay. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, life is all about you and what you choose to do. So make sure you choose to be great. And anytime you choose to be great, make sure you speak on it. We here and we gonna be here. We'll catch y'all next week. And no, it's not 1998. It's 2024.
Yeah, bam. Free man. Go to bed.